somebody can pray. Somebody knows how.
Well, it's Sunday morning, was it 23rd?
Yeah.
Right? February 23rd? Well, once again, Father, we come to gather in your holy name, to seek you, to learn from you. And Lord, we want to, as well as possible, come as little children before you and let your Holy Spirit guide and teach us into the truth that's hidden in your word, but that you want to make known, Lord. You don't want it to stay hidden. You want it to be for your people. And Lord, we pray and hope that we are that people and that you will share it with us today and that you will just bless us. And we bless you, Lord, for all that you've done. We thank you for what you've done. And we know that you are the God of all the universe and this world and that you are in control.
Yes.
And we want to rely on that, Lord, with all our hearts as much as possible.
Yes.
So, let us hear from you, Lord, today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We are told somewhere in the scriptures, I'm racking my mind brain to figure out where it was, I can't remember, but it says that the law and the prophets were until John. And, you know, I should know where it is, but I don't. I can't think of it. But anyway, from that, it's easy to draw some conclusions that are wrong. And, one of them is that's the end of the law and the prophets. But it's not. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 5:17, Jesus says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am come to but to fulfill." I didn't come to destroy them. I came to fulfill them. And then here's the verse that I was thinking of early this morning. For verily I say unto you, until heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle, even a little comma, in no wise shall pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And I begin to realize something. Without Christ, all men are judged by the law. And on the day of judgment, people will be judged by the law. And the only thing that saves some is Christ. Otherwise, we'd be judged by the law as well. I had quite an experience the other night. I was watching the Dick Cabot thing. It's kind of like a Johnny Carson or something. I don't know. He interviewed people. And he did something that I never would have tried to do. He interviewed Billy Graham. And what it did, whatever feelings might have been in my mind and in my heart over the years concerning Billy Graham, it really changed when I watched this. And I tell you what, here was a man that didn't pull any punches. And he said stuff like, he said, I am a sinner. I need to repent. You know, I don't know what he said, but just continually repent. And he says, and he looked out, and here's the audience, and he said, and so do you. And he says, I'm a sinner, and you're sinners. We're all sinners. And, but anyway, I mean, this was the way he was going on, and it was a powerful, powerful thing, just for an interview. And I thought, poor Dick, I mean, I kind of like to watch him anyway, but and he's kind of sensible, you know, kind of sensible. ago. Anybody know who he is?
Yeah.
And, but anyway, Jesus says, I did not come to destroy the law or the prophets. And that's kind of one of the reasons, I suppose, that the Old Testament is in, combined in with the New. Mm-hmm. And I have kind of been misunderstanding the whole thing myself. And if it wasn't for Christ, you know, it says that we are baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. If it wasn't for Christ, we would be hopelessly lost. Because he fulfilled the law, he made it possible for us to have him in us or over us or the head of us or whatever, so that we escape the curse of the law. The Bible calls the law a curse. And the reason it's a curse is because there are all of these commandments, and it says that we can fulfill, you know, the vast majority of them, but if we are guilty in one of them, if we don't do one of the commandments, we are guilty of all. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about? And so the hopelessness, that's a curse. That's why it's a curse. But anyway, but Christ had made a way, and so our relationship with him causes us to escape the curse. Had to take away whatever.
Were you thinking of this verse before? The law and the prophets were unto John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it?
Yes.
Luke 16:16.
Okay. But even though it was until John, it didn't mean it stopped. That's the point. The law and the prophets are still a part of the thing. What the thing that the Bible says in Galatians that the law was added because of transgression, because of sin. And what the law did, it made sin obvious. So we knew what we were supposed to do and what we're, you know what I mean? That's what it did. And so, as much as a sin is a problem, it is a blessing because it helps us, as well as the law is a problem, it helps us to know what we're doing and you know, and what to do about it. But anyway, the fifth chapter of Matthew is what they call the Beatitudes. And blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek. And blessed are those who do hunger and thirst for righteousness. You know what it says? For they shall be filled. Receiving a love for the truth, is that not being hungry and thirsting for righteousness? Anyway, I was thinking along the same line that if somebody wants to go to hell, all they got to do is to convince themselves that they deserve to go to heaven. Like the Pharisee. Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. publican, or was it a publican or a Samaritan or somebody, couldn't even lift his eyes towards heaven, but said, "Lord, have mercy on me." And anyway, God is painting us a picture for our sake, so that we can go to heaven. He said, "Everyone that exalts himself will be abased, will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." No comments?
It's kind of scary.
You just said it all.
It's all scary. But Christ has come to set us free from the scariness.
Yeah, it's so contrary to natural thinking.
Yes, it is.
The more you know the Lord, the more you know. If that doesn't make you humble, as Brother prayed, doesn't want to make you more childlike, then you're not really getting it. It's so kind of like, the more you have, the more uncomfortable you should be that you're doing the right thing. Unless so, God's in it.
So God says, beginning in Psalms, he says, "Blessed are those who delight in his word. And on his word they meditate day and night." And the Bible tells us, you know, that faith comes by the hearing of that word, the intake of God's word. And yet, the more of the word that we know, the more accountable we are. So it's like, on one hand, it doesn't really do us a big favor. On the other hand, if we all want eternal life, it does, you know. That's what we need. And so we're becoming, the more we're listening to the word, the more accountable we're becoming.
So suppose those that didn't get a chance to listen to the word for a long time, they're less vulnerable, obviously. And so I was thinking, listen to the. I sent you guys a prayer request a couple of days ago, maybe last week, about my friend that did this carpet over here.
Mm-hmm.
And when I sent you the prayer request, he was living in the hospital, but I didn't hear from him for a couple of days. And then this guy is not the kind of guy that would stay in touch, really. I just, you know, it's all work related. But if I see him, you know, I'm happy to see him. He's happy to see me. And so, anyways, I called him a couple of days ago. He didn't answer, and he called me back. And I couldn't understand what he was saying, because first of all, they took all his teeth out because to do some hard things that remove teeth. I don't know how that works, but and then he was brought to the emergency again, to the hospital as an emergency. Anyway, not really sure. So I really feel like I need to pray for him, and actually I'm gonna go to pray for him after church. And truth is, I don't have this thing in my head. Pray for it. I just the only reason, and I'm praying. I'm just being obedient, basically, to the scripture. It said, you know, Jesus says, you know, I was sick and you visited me, and I was hungry and you fed me, and so forth. And Jesus, the righteous, he said, "When did we do this?" And Jesus said, "Well, whatever you did to everybody else, you did to me." So I'm just basically being kind to Jesus, by doing this. I'm doing it for Jesus and not for God, for my friend, as much. But still, I do care for him a lot. Anyways, in the past, I talked to him and he said, he's saved and he gave his heart to the Lord twice or whatever. But I don't think that he really is. I don't think he's saved. Anyways, all this because you say those that much been given, much will be required. But it hasn't been given a lot to God, I don't think. So not a lot is required of them. But my heart, I really wanna. He's sick. He's like super sick. Unless God heals him, I don't think he can go. I don't really know what's gonna happen to him. But I would really like to tell him anything, something that he can, turn around and save his soul. On the other hand, I don't want to premeditate any of these things because it's really all up to God, if God wants him, save him, but I don't know. So it is encouraging to know that to those that less have been given, less will be required. I suppose the thief on the cross, not a lot required from him. Mm-hmm. But I was just wondering. What do you tell someone that thinks is saved? And we talk about this a lot. Often we do talk about once saved, always saved. But anyways, he's sick and he's weak.
I think my favorite verse that I can't remember, I don't even remember exactly where that is either. But there's a verse of scripture that says that God is a righteous judge. And that started to get a hold of me. It's like we pass judgment, but we're not in a righteous place to judge. But God is. So whatever is the right thing to do, God will do it. And I don't know. I've seen a number of miracles, but I don't know that I ever knew ahead of time that they were going to be healed. And this Henry Oyem down south of Eau Claire, God did a real miracle in him. And I don't know that I would have gone to pray for him, but Joanne talked to his wife, her name was Lillian, and wanted Henry to come to the meeting that we were having on Friday nights. And she said, well, he would like to come, but he's in a lot of pain. And she says, would he let some of the men come and pray for him? My wife, she was, that was her, the way she was. And so she asked him, and he said, sure. So we went and prayed for him and left and had our meeting. We didn't know that right after we left that he went through an experience of wound up over something, and he was with a total healing. We didn't know it. I didn't know it for 2 weeks. And so the thing is, you just pray for him. Right. You just pray for him, and God takes care of the rest.
Yeah, just say, Lord, give me the words.
Yeah.
And then just... And if you don't get nothing, but I'm sure you will. I feel pretty confident that he would get something, to minister with to him.
His salvation is his responsibility.
Right.
Your responsibility is to lead him as much as God anoints you.
That's true.
That's
very true.
So what is your responsibility? To do what God tells you.
Right.
And as much as we love people that don't get saved, there's no more we can do.
Right. Right.
It's hard.
Yeah.
But we can all pray for him.
Yeah.
about it. No matter how much we care for them or how much we love them, God loves them more.
Absolutely.
You know, God so, you know, He so loved the world, and we can't even fathom that. But that He gave His only begotten Son, and you know, it's kind of hard for us to even imagine what this is. But for us to have a only begotten Son, that's one thing. But for God to have an only begotten Son and set it up so that whoever would believe in Him, and that's the thing that I'm beginning to understand. You know, it's like we. If we believe in Him, it removes us from the curse of the law. That doesn't make any sense. But it doesn't have to, because that's what God's Word says.
Father, we ask you,
yes,
that you touch God, Father. I want to
yes.
Body is one thing, but His soul, Father. I ask you that just open His heart to your Spirit, Father, and you know, baptize Him with the Jesus and fire, Father. That He can be a godly man, that you can be satisfied and happy with Him, that one day when he passes, Father, that you receive Him in eternal life.
Yes.
I ask you for that, Father. I also ask you to just bless His earthly body, Father. If it is your will to heal Him, Father, He's got, you know, so just so many wrong things with His body, which means nothing for what you can do, Father.
Yes.
Just, if it is possible to be, so He can be a witness to His family and His kids and His friends, Father, I just do this for Him. Father, He's a good man, and I ask you to save Him. Just save His body, save His soul, Father.
Yes.
And you can do it, Father.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yes.
You know, we all have friends like that out there. We all do. You know, and we need to include all of them in that same prayer, because there's a lot of them out there. You know, and they're good people. They really are. You know.
Amen.
Amen.
God placed
them
on your heart for a reason.
Yeah. Well, actually, He kind of reaches out to me. I mean, he, once he first started to get sick, he called me. So I'm not much of a phone person, like chit chatting, you know. I just, hey, call me on the phone, what do you need? Okay, this is it, okay, be done.
Yeah.
But he kind of reaches out to me and tells me his stuff. And I'm like, not sure why you're doing this, but okay. So, you know, when you pray or whatever. So I know what he said, I know what he's been. His kids are like, I don't know how many kids he's got, but all of them, all the adult ones are like in jail. For real. And they're like super troublemakers. And I don't know. He's got a son, he's like Eli, his name is also Eli. And I'm going to go see this other person. I don't want to say anything, but I'm going to look at a similar message. We'll see.
Praise the Lord that it's in His hands.
Right.
Glad we don't have to do it on our own.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, let God be God, and let
right.
God be God.
Right.
So let us be a willing God.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And that's probably why He calls you, because you are a willing vessel.
Mm-hmm. said, I'm just, you know, whatever you're doing to others, you're doing that to me. Since Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's really my drive, more than really anything else, really. You know, honestly. I'm not trying to buy myself a ticket to Jesus' favor. But that's just what it is. That's one of the easy things. That's easy. You know, there's other things that Jesus has to do that are not easy. Really. This is one of the easier ones.
Yeah, sometimes working on your own salvation is the hardest thing you can do.
Right?
It is.
You know, it's easy to talk to other people, but try talking to yourself. This guy in here looks familiar, but I don't know if I know him or not.
Now I'm going to request prayer in the line, that kind of like that line in a way. I'm going in Tuesday to have my gallbladder removed. Seems like they're taking piece by piece. But I'm okay with it. It's probably the reason why I've been having so many back problems. My back is, for years, it's been my problem. Usually it would come and go. Well, come to find out the kidney or the bladder stones are probably what's causing the problem. So goodbye, gallbladder. So.
But you can live without.
You can live without your gallbladder.
Yeah.
And it isn't real painful right now, but the problem is the stones can move and cause a lot more problem, a lot more damage. So it's best to have a
gallbladder stones also?
I didn't know, yeah. I was going to say gallbladder.
Yes.
I thought kidney stones.
Yeah.
No, do they just stay in the gallbladder?
Well, they hope that's where they stay. But if they move into
the
ducts, then into
the ducts and stuff.
Whatever.
That blocks the bile that you need.
And you got problems,
And I had mine out. I saved the stones.
Oh, did you? How?
I think finally my kids drove away. I think there was probably at least 30 some in there. I don't know if they found them.
See, I was tested years ago, I would say 10, 15 years ago, and I knew I had them. But then would always go away enough where I wasn't concerned. Well, this has been about 3 months now, so they say it's time.
With the will of God, it would be just outpatient surgery.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The longest incision is going to be about that long.
I know.
The shortest one is going to be about like that.
My roommate had her gallbladder out. This is when we were 19, and this guy went from here to here, and she was in the hospital for a week.
Yeah.
You know,
they probably moved.
Everything has changed.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Okay.
Along those lines, I request prayer to them.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with it. And, you know, I've had worse surgeries. So I just didn't want any more surgeries. You know, it took me a few days to accept it. But.
I'll agree to that.
Yes. You get to an age and it's like, I know more, please.
You don't have to even be 20.
No. I'm about almost 100% as far as my back, so
very good.
Great.
I worked Thursday 5.5 hours, and then rode my bike Friday. Everything's
praise the Lord.
Good.
Very good. You know, I have had for the last 3 years, 4 years. It's, you know, it's hard to keep track of years. I all of a sudden I have issue with different things, and like I shared with you guys, it's just a demon, a troubling demon in the highway of Pablo. You know what I mean? And it's one thing or another, and you know, it's one thing right now. But so Candy said to me, she said, you know, I feel like you're a big dartboard, and the devil is just throwing darts at you. And then, you know, that dart is supposed to point south, and then another dart. And so there is a scripture about that. She says, you know, blah, 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 from the fiery darts of the devil.
Yeah, oh. Maybe you should try and look that up. I think it says something how to stop that.
Yeah.
And we do need to fight.
Faith.
Yeah. Something that turns to keep you, keep the fire down from
right.
The devil getting you or whatever. Something like that.
I don't think I know that one.
Yeah, let's see.
Even 16.
What would we do without technology?
Yeah. Oh, my. That's wonderful.
Just take longer to run.
After we look at the
light. You'll look quite tall and fiery there. It's a little bit more. Well, you know what you know what we need to do is read these scriptures and know that if he's given us truth, whatever amount that is, it says, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. When you've gotten truth, you can gird your waist. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, truth brings righteousness. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, knowing God's in control of everything, above all taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
What does quench mean?
Stop.
Put
out. Okay, put out what's on fire?
Yeah.
Kind of like quenching your thirst when you drink.
Yeah.
You know that?
Quench when you drink, you're quenching your thirst.
Okay. Because I suppose I wonder if this implies that you receive the darts, they do get to you. You can just put them out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not so you still receive them.
Because it kind of implies that the fact that fire is a problem.
Right.
The darts are so
good. Not so much. Yeah. Right.
And it's not just a few.
Not right.
It says all.
Yes, right.
Be able to quench all the fiery darts.
You know that Jesus says when he's being crucified, whoever it is, I don't know, he says, do you know that I have power to release you? I have power to put you away. Jesus is like, you have no power over me unless it's been given to you from above.
Yeah.
And that's the devil, too. And for as bad as the devil, 100% of what the devil does is power that God is allowing the devil. The devil doesn't go on his own to do his own thing. Knowing that, it can give us a strength to know that it's still God. And if you know that all things work for good to those that love and trust in the Lord. You still know it's a work of God. You know, God is chastises those that he loves. So you can look at it as in, I'm being loved in a weird, difficult way, but this is the love of God. Because if we love God, we know that we go through it, we'll get out of it or not. But it's still God. It's the love of God that he's allowing the devil. And, you know, he chastises those that he loves. And then, isn't there a scripture that says that, you know, he prunes his children? You know, and pruning is a very aggressive treatment to a plant or a flower or
a tree. Yeah, the trees and fruit.
Yeah, it's aggressive.
Yeah.
And, but when you trust in the Lord, you get out of it. You come out of it. It's better. You know what I mean? And, you know, even though I like to think on earth, you know, you all of a sudden come out better on earth, but God's intentions is that's a goal. Listen, that goal is not earth. It's not this earth. All of his work is for eternal reasons. You know, so we might, who knows what we're going to go through and never get out of it in this earth. But his goal is eternal with us. It's the new world, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really like to think about it. I want to think like, okay, I'm going to be happy for years and years and years, and one day I'm gone.
I'm going to be perfect.
Right. But that's not how God works.
You know, this is a really touchy area. But I've been hearing bits and pieces again about, you know, Holocaust people and whatnot. And this morning I thought, I bet you I could go through the Old Testament and find 40 Holocausts for God's people.
Yeah.
And why was it? They wouldn't acknowledge it.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you know, there's a lot of those people, if they're still survivors, they're still not free if they haven't
acknowledged.
I'm thinking repent and come back to God. And now they may say they're believers in that, but if you didn't repent, then why, you know, nobody wants to hear that because that sounds...
The scales are on their eyes.
Huh?
The scales.
The scales are on their eyes.
No one wants to hear that because it sounds so cruel. But, I mean, it happened to them all the time in their history, and it can happen. It's the same way when God chastises. Sometimes it's to get our attention and say, come back to me. You've wavered off. You don't acknowledge me as being the one that can take care of you. That was their biggest thing. They started making their own idols and everything, thinking they could take care of themselves, and didn't rely on God to take care of them. And he said, okay, then I'll let you be captives and carried away, you know, by all your enemies. So,
I'm sorry.
It's harsh.
Granted, it's like, you know, so you think you got this?
Yeah.
Not so much.
Yes.
Not so much.
Not so much.
You're not perfected yet.
And he says, yeah, you know, sometimes God allows us. I'm thinking, no, I think it's all the time.
I think Ken and I were talking one day about the Holocaust thing, and the Jewish leaders or the Jewish people made a strange comment. And we see them, and they said, when they were going to kill Christ, they said, well, let his blood be upon us and our children.
Yeah, that's true.
And anyway, the Holocaust was a cruel and strange and weird thing. That was one of the strangest things in history anywhere.
Well, yeah, people look at it and say it was because the Germans were evil.
And they were.
And they were.
Yeah. But
why did God let his people fall into their hands? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, and I would not bring this up as somebody who was really anointed in front of any of those kind of people.
Right.
Because, you know, you'd probably get stoned. Well, maybe not. Well, if you're anointed, actually, God might do a mighty work in them, you know, and the rest of Israel.
Well, he says maybe God chooses that time to let the scales come off.
Yeah, great.
I mean, and we've had similar things, maybe not stated with such a dramatic flair, but, you know, a revelation that we get from the Word is like kind of like having the scales fall off. It's like you're going along and all of a sudden, oh, you know, now I see this for what this is.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like the same thing.
See, and it says, because God loves you, he will chastise you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not because he hates you and wants to do
you
in. You know, it's because he loves you. He wants to get your attention on him.
He knows that's all that's going to get your attention.
Yeah. Best subject, but anyway.
of it all comes down to repentance.
Yeah.
We were talking before about, I don't know how it was about, you know, the fact that it almost looks like there's two different systems in the scriptures. And let me read you one. This is in the second chapter of Romans. In the verse 13, well, let me read 12 with it. As many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. As many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Now, this is done. This is after Christ. This is in Romans. For not the hearers of the law are just, verse 13, not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. And here's a setting. Now, I don't know if all the translations are the same, but this is a King James. It says, when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. You know, the, it says in Hebrews 12:4 that God, or the Word of God, judges or discerns the thoughts of the heart, and even the intents of the heart. It says, their thoughts, meanwhile, accusing or excusing one another on the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now this is yet to happen. Are you following me? When God shall judge the secrets of men's hearts by Jesus Christ. This hasn't happened yet. So it's not that God has several different things, but it's like, didn't Papa say something about, what about those that don't know, or heaven, or something?
Yeah, haven't received as much, less is expected.
And the Gentiles that don't have the law. Or what about that don't have access to Christ, that don't have, not heard, you know? But they show the law written in their hearts. You know, there are some people that are really nice people. And it's like they kind of do nice things just because they somehow know to do nice things. That's not that I don't have a way to judge them or say they're good or bad, but you know. But in the day, when God shall judge the secrets of men, that hasn't happened yet. I don't. It may have happened to some, but you know, according to my gospel. So, God is going to judge. You know, as God has spoken to us in these last days through Christ, through His Son, you know, He's also going to judge by that same Son. But God's going to do the judging through His Son. God spoke to us through His Son. God's going to judge through His Son. You know what? That tells me something. It tells me that God and His Son are pretty much the same. They're pretty close together. I'm a disaster sentence.
We'll get it right.
But
doesn't Jesus also say, I don't judge you, but God's word judges you? So along with that, it's not only that God, it's not Jesus judging, God judging you. God's word.
Yeah, so these and words that I speak will judge you, it's not I.
When you were reading in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, verse 17 tells us, it says, but take the sword of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, the sword of the Holy Spirit. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What we're doing, this is a sword of the Holy Spirit. So it's no wonder when we're in deliverance and we would sometimes people hold the Bible on people that were manifesting, they go bananas. Remember that? Anyway, that I just read there in Romans, that's kind of a one of a kind. But it's not an isolated thing, but it's kind of like that gives us a revelation that a lot of people don't have. You know, we can get legalistic and exclude something like that. But the point is, and that's what I said before, God is a righteous judge. Nobody's going to go to hell that don't deserve to. And nobody's going to go to heaven except whoever God helps to get there. And it says, except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. You know, and you look at it, and it don't look like it would take much, but apparently it does, you know.
So the doorway to heaven is going to be pretty narrow, and the doorway to hell is going to be pretty wide, huh?
Yeah. That's kind of what it says.
Yeah, it sure does. Quite often. In different ways.
Just to make sure you get it. Ways are beyond knowing. It's kind of, as you talk about these two systems, and as Father mentioned, you know, how someone who doesn't know, and how are they judged versus someone who does know on the accountability level, and then kind of wrap up, well, if you have faith, and you have faith that God is a righteous judge, then everybody that makes it should have, and you should be happy with that, because he's a righteous judge. You know, when the danger comes in, as you said earlier, when I've done enough, I've made it.
if it says that the end will not come until all the Gentiles have been preached the gospel, and that pretty much takes care about everybody, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We'll have an opportunity.
One way or another.
To have heard, and so then be somewhat accountable, of, you know, whatever degree, they'll be accountable.
Except
somehow at the end he does it. Right. Before the end.
Yeah.
Except here's the problem. And that's a good thought pattern, but the problem is most of what is being promoted out here that they call the gospel is not even the gospel.
Well, yeah, I know. That's what I've said a lot. I felt like, when will I have an opportunity? Because it sounds like the gospel's went everywhere in the world. And then when we started listening to the word, I went, no, wait a minute.
Yeah.
There's a huge opportunity coming for that reason, that they haven't heard the true gospel.
They heard the gospel of man.
Yep.
The gospel of God.
Walter Niederhauser, remember him from the Switzerland? He started several churches over in the Philippines, and I remember him one day. I think he was crying. I don't know. He said that it's pathetic because there's like four churches within walking distance of each other of different denominations. He said they spent most of their time preaching the wrongs of the other churches.
Mm-hmm.
And Because they got nothing else to preach.
Because they don't have the truth.
And I'm afraid. I'm afraid that the revelation of the Son of God, that the revelation of His being a human, I think that is going to be something that is going to happen quickly. The Jews at the time of Christ were not looking for a spirit individual. They were not looking for the Son of God to be a God thing. They were looking for a king like David that was to rule the Israel forever. And they were expecting it, you know, the ones that the Pharisees believed in eternal life. The Sadducees didn't. But they weren't looking for a deity. And so when Jesus said, "I am the Son of God," they're thinking he's saying, "I am a spirit like God is." And that's why Jesus, when they said, "Well, it's a spirit," he said, "Does a spirit have flesh and bones as you see me have after the resurrection?" He wanted to let us know that he was not raised as a spirit being. He was raised as a glorified man. And that has to be somehow brought about. And I think, you know, I don't know. It says that Jesus is going to stand on the Mount of Olives. Does it say that in the book of Revelation? Is it the Mount of Olives? Mm-hmm. I think it is. And reveal himself to the Jews? Anybody know where that is?
What is that again?
Sometime in the future, that he's going to stand on the Mount of Olives, and the Jews will see him and realize that this is the one that they killed. Is it the Mount of Olives?
I don't think so.
Is anybody familiar with what I'm talking about?
No, the only thing that came to my mind, which is not really in sync, is, and this will be done in remembrance of me when the gospel is preached in the whole world, blah, 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 but that's not it, what you're after.
The only reference to olives I can find is in the Gospels, as they talk about, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples. That's Mark 11:1. Or Matthew 21:1. Maybe John 8:1, I believe.
It wouldn't be that soon in John. I don't think.
Doesn't sound like a Gospel thing to me.
I think it's in the book of Revelation, but I'm not sure.
No, I didn't see anything in Revelation at all. That's one night.
Well, you know what? It could be. It could be in Ezekiel.
It could be. It couldn't be.
Oh yeah. You're saying that he comes down in a form that is seeable.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't recall.
Okay, well, how does the scripture go out of the key? Just give me whatever you got in your mind.
Well, somehow he's going to reveal himself to the Jewish nation. And they're going to believe. It's kind of an end, really end thing. don't know where it is.
Okay, this might be it. Revelation 14. Then I looked, and there before me was a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads.
No.
No? That's not it.
But I'll tell you what, I will find it somewhere, and we'll have it next week.
Okay.
Is there a prophecy like in the Old Testament?
Yeah, it could be.
So the word Jesus might not be in that scripture.
Probably not, no.
Could it have anything to do with Moses and Mount Sinai?
No.
No.
Yeah. Well, we'll research this and get back to you.
Yeah.